need for the things of this life are found in God's Word. Now, this morning I have a verse on my mind, and I'd like to read that verse and bring some thoughts out of it. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 21, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I preached a little bit on this in the past, and I'd like to touch on it again. I'd like to ask you, do you believe that you're an overcomer? When we think about overcoming, we think about the messages that Jesus preached to the seven churches of Asia Minor. He's preached a message to each one of those churches, but at the conclusion of that message, those many epistles, if you would call them that way, he says to him that overcometh, or to he that overcometh, he says, "I will bless them richly. I will pour out my blessings upon them," is basically what he's saying. But we find here in this 21st verse, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, there's two scenarios being played out here. Either evil is going to overcome you in your life, or you're going to overcome the evil in this life. Now, what's under consideration here in Romans chapter 12 is vengeance. And we may look at that at the close this morning. But evil is unrighteousness, wickedness, that is an offense against God's holy and righteous law. Are we overcomers? I believe that this phrase teaches us about all things. I believe every child of God will go through the entirety of his life either overcoming or being overcome by circumstances, situations, or the things of life. Now, the one thing that I want us to know is that many of the things that we desire to overcome or would attempt to overcome, we cannot overcome without Christ. We're told in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "Without me, you can do nothing." Yet Paul teaches us beyond the shadow of a doubt that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. There's a thread that is woven throughout Scripture of what we can do, what we can be in this life, right here and now, but it's with Christ. It's not alone. So many of God's people attempt to go out and find joy and happiness and peace and rest and you name it on their own. And because we enter into the Lord's house for an hour on Sunday morning does not mean that we have the kind of connection with Jesus Christ that we ought to have. It needs to be every day of our lives. Now, when we think about this verse for a few moments, the word overcome means to conquer. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You will find this theme spoken of over and over and over again. It's in him that we have redemption. It's in him that we were chosen. It's in him that we're able to overcome anything in our lives. We have many things to overcome. Now, another definition we find is to get the better part of. The better part of. We're either conquerors or we're to get the better part of things. I ask you today, is life circumstances, is life situations, are the things that you encounter, are you in control of those things or are they in control of you? That's certainly what's being brought forth in the Word of God. Does life control you or do you control life? Now, some people might say, well, you can't do that. But Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me." Can you handle the difficulties of life? You know, if you're a young person, you can be prepared to have all kinds of good things and bad things happen to you as you journey through this life. The question is, are you making your journey on a day-to-day basis with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's really what we need to consider this morning. You know, we have before us God's infallible word, the greatest book that was ever written. The question is, do we use it for our good? You know, listening to the word preached on Sunday is great, but are we like those Berean brethren who were noble? And if they search the word daily, where those things were so? Do you want to have real joy in your life? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to really be happy? If you're trying to find those things aside from Jesus Christ, I can assure you, you're not going to find them. You may be happy for a little while, but you won't have true peace. And you won't have real inner peace and inner joy unless you have Jesus Christ as part of your life 24/7. That's really what life is about. This book is a book of life. Not that this book gets us to heaven. It doesn't. We get to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he give us grace for now, for living right now. Grace wasn't just to get us from death into heaven to live in glory. It's for life right here and now. But you can't do it apart from Jesus Christ. You can't. Unfortunately, as I make my journey through life and look back on my own experience and know the experience of many in the church and many in my neighborhoods, I can tell you I believe the majority of God's people are attempting to find joy and peace and fulfillment in life apart from Jesus Christ. Now, they'll tell you they believe in him. They'll come to church on Sunday mornings, but is he really in communion and fellowship with you day in and day out? Is he really an intimate part of your life? I believe that's what the Lord intended for him and his people. Now, the question is, and we want to keep in concern is the Lord, or I mean, are we getting the better part of the circumstances or situations in life? There's a verse in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. It says, "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You know, the Bible tells us that because of what Jesus Christ done, God's people will inherit eternal life based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. But it says here that we inherit all things. Now, we know that in God's word, it tells us and teaches us that we have available to us the power of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not through ourselves or not through the preacher or our neighbors, but through Jesus Christ. John tells us that we are branches connected to a vine, and that we find our strength, our nutrition, our help, our ability to deal with every consequence of life in Jesus Christ. I tell you right now, I've had people tell me in life that they are so happy and so full of joy, but they walk around with such a frown on their face. They seem as though it's hard for them to smile. Are you really joyful? Are you really happy? Are you really at peace? I tell you, I've also met people, and I know people this very day, who are always filled with joy. They always have a smile on their face and a bounce in their step. And I tell you, I know them people personally that they're in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're connected. They don't just connect up like connecting the water hose to your house faucet on Sunday morning and then disconnect it till the next Sunday comes. This life connection with Jesus Christ is something that needs to take place every day in our life. If we're going to overcome things and not let those things of life overcome us, then we can only do it with the strength of Jesus Christ. When we're connected to our Savior and our Lord, I think every one of us in here want to be overcomers. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things we might want to overcome. Maybe the difficulty of a job. Maybe the problems we might have with our children. Being discouraged because of things that go on out in the world. We've got many things. Oftentimes, when we talk about overcoming, we always direct it at the negative. But I tell you right there, there's things that you and I consider to be positive. If we're not careful, we need to overcome those things. We need to overcome prosperity sometimes. You know, we're told that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's no evil in money. But if we get to the point of loving our money or our substance more than we love God, then we need to overcome that, don't we? And we need the help of the Lord to overcome it. There are those in the world who love entertainment and pleasure. They live every day for a new entertainment and a new pleasure. Again, there's nothing wrong with entertainment and pleasure. Certainly not. But when it becomes a love in your life that goes before the Lord Jesus Christ, it's truly a problem that needs to be overcome. I'm reading a book by a man named Tom Keller, or listening to it actually on audio, and it's called Counterfeit Gods. He says there are more counterfeit gods in the world than there are realities. And so easy for us. Anything can be a god in our lives. So sometimes even those things that seem to be positive in our lives, making a lot of money, having a lot of pleasure, going on a lot of trips, doing a lot of things, if we're not careful, they can become our god. They need to be overcome in life. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're either going to overcome something, or that something is going to overcome us. Now, as I said, the definition of overcoming is to conquer. If we're going to conquer anything in our lives, we can't conquer it alone according to the Word of God, not the child of God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul said, with his strength, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now, I think that we can have, according to the Word of God, the richest, fullest life that a person could ever think about living when we're in tune with Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there's a subject taught about first fruits, the giving of first fruits. And as we close out the book of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, I want to read some verses beginning in Malachi 3 and 6 just to bring a point out of what I believe God can give to us on our behalf when we're walking in His ways, when we're communing with Him, when we're having fellowship with Him on a daily basis. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are going away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? That was the question they asked. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? This lesson's about first fruits, and this began before the law of Moses was even given. It began with Abel and Cain. But we go on here in verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver and that we can't outgive the Lord. You know, when we rob from God, we're robbing something that belonged to Him to start with. But I want verse 10 here. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. I ask you today, what do you think God can do for you in your life when you're walking in His ways, when you're pleasing Him, when you're doing according to His word? He can open His bounty of blessings in heaven and pour so much out upon you that you will not be able to hold them. That's what He said to the nation of Israel and to the individual of Israel. And if you and I, as the children of God, are symbolic of the chosen children of Israel, how many blessings can God pour out upon you that you cannot possibly hold? Now, I know the subject's a little different here, but I tell you, when a man's ways please the Lord, it's amazing what the Lord will do for that man, for his family. When a nation's ways please the Lord, the Lord can bless us with untold blessings. But so often, we hear that preached. We read a few verses in the Bible, and we leave God's house, and we forget. How soon we forget. Do we pray to the Lord as we ought to pray to the Lord? Pray without ceasing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are we careful? Do we pray? Do we read God's word? Do you want answers to your problems? Do you want real joy? Jesus said in John 15, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." I bet you if I was to ask for a show of hands in this room, how many people would like to have their lives filled with joy? Every one of you would raise your hand. Every one of you want to have a life filled with joy. If I was to say, how many of you want a life filled with trouble and sorrow and difficulty? How many of you would raise your hand? Not a one. Now, we're going to have those things, but we're able to overcome those difficulties and those problems. And even sometimes when we're lifted up in pride beyond what we should be, by the help of Jesus Christ, we can be overcomers. Now, let's get back. I want to direct your attention to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want our young people to understand what they have to face in life. With Christ, you can face anything, any obstacle that comes your way. Without Him, the road can get very bumpy and it can get very difficult as you go forward. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it begins by saying, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." I want you to know that this idea that Peter brings forward of false prophets and false teachers is nothing new. There were false prophets among the people in their day, and he said in your day, in our day, there will be false teachers among us. Now, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that oftentimes God's people are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. God wants us to be established in the truth, to walk in His ways, and to be aware of what we may have to confront, or the confrontations we may have out here in life. Let's go on and get a couple more verses before I get the one I'm really after. In verse 7 it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Now, I believe in chapter 2 he's given us a definition or an explanation of the wicked and of the unrighteous. As we look into God's word here, he tells us that in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, when just Lot was delivered, a man who loved those cities and really didn't want to leave, he says he was just. He's been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet he was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. If you don't think it matters who you associate with in life, who you're around in life, you need to think again. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That really means worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You hang around the wrong people long enough, you begin to act like those folks. You'll do what they do and go the way that they go. It says in verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, the reason I bring this up is I believe, as Scripture tells us, at least for a period of time, the child of God can be overtaken or vexed by the wicked. Lot sure was, wasn't he? And the Bible declares that he was just and right. He was righteous. He had the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's go on down to verse 17. It says, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." There's no question in my mind who's under consideration here. It's the wicked. It's the non-elect. But let's notice verse 19. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." What did Satan do with Jesus when he took him out in the wilderness and set him up on a high mountain? He promised him all the kingdoms of the world, didn't he? I tell you right now, that's exactly what happens sometimes from these false teachers. They promise you things that they cannot possibly deliver. But yet many of God's people are taken by them. But notice the remainder of this verse. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." About a month ago, Brother Gale preached here a very able message on bondage. He spoke about seven types of bondage in the Bible, and I believe there's even far more than that. When we said a while ago, does life have control of you, or do you have control of life? I tell you, when you get into bondage, whatever you're in bondage to has control of your life. If you're in bondage to drugs or alcohol, I'll assure you, they have control of you. They have control of you. Remember what our text said? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil. I'll tell you, there's situations and circumstances and things in this life that if we're not careful and we don't pray to God and we don't stay connected with Jesus Christ, those situations will overcome you. I see people who tell me that God made them this way and they can't overcome. But by the grace of God, we can change. And by the help of our Savior, we can overcome. Well, look at that verse we started with to close here in just a few moments, or just a little bit. Be not overcome of evil. God tells us we're going to be either overcome of this evil or we're going to overcome it. And I'll assure you, alone and apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't overcome anything. We are weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can, but you can't just do it by coming in here and screwing on your garden hose on Sunday morning and unscrewing it when you leave the building. It's a daily thing. Do you pray as you should pray? Do you think about the Lord as you should think about it? Do you live your daily life for the glory of Jesus Christ? If we want to be overcomers, we need to be engaged all the time, not just on occasion, because we'll be brought into bondage. If we're overcome by the things of this world, it brings us into bondage. Now, considering that, we think about the words that John wrote in chapter 4 and verse 4. But I want to read just a little bit. Again, John warns us here in the first verse, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You know, Peter tells us, John tells us that there are many false teachers in the world. But the point I want you to understand is there are things that happen to us that if we're not careful, they'll overcome us. They'll overwhelm us. They'll begin to control us in this life. You know, some people are addicts to alcohol. Some people are addicts to drugs. Some people are addicted to spending money. They can't stop. No matter where they have the money or not, they continue to spend. There are things in life that we need to overcome. Sometimes we become so prosperous in our lives. God blesses us in such a mighty way that we become lifted up in pride. We become lifted up in pride. And we need to overcome that, don't we? God knows how to humble us. We need to be overcomers. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, "You are of God, little children, and had to overcome them." These particular folks that John was speaking to had overcome them, these false prophets, these spirits that were not of God. Why? Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You see a continual thread throughout the scriptures that if we're to overcome anything in this life, it has to be hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on your own, not apart from Christ, but with Christ. Paul tells us back over in Romans 12 and 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There is a way for every one of us to learn that lesson, and we'll get to it in a moment. We can all be overcomers with the help of Jesus Christ. But so often in this life, we want to go do things our way. We want to walk in the direction we want to walk into. And a lot of things, we don't overcome a lot of things. They overcome us. Life dictates to us how we're going to live and what we're going to do. You know, sometimes we are very disappointed in life. It may be our children. It may be our spouse. Things just don't work out like the fairy tale picture that we might have had when we were kids. But I'll tell you right now, if we understand that the love that Christ had for you and I, if we understand what it means to be connected to our Savior Jesus Christ, I tell you, there's not anything you and I can't overcome. You know, Brother Gale spoke of bondage, being in bondage to traditions in the church. I believe there's much of that that goes on. When the dust settles and the sun goes down, our only concern should be pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, not men. We find that in Mark chapter 7, not to follow the commandments of men. He said some people were in bondage to financial problems, to debt. That's very true. Debt can be a great burden and a great bondage, especially upon young people, but even old people alike. We can be into bondage to the past. I see a lot of people that live in the past. Yet Paul says not to look back, to look forward. You can't live in the past. You can't change anything. We need to overcome those things. We need to be overcomers, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Notice what it says in the fifth verse of John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know what? We're going to heaven because Jesus overcome. He overcome the world. You and I never fired a bullet, never fought one battle. That battle and that victory was given to us on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now he's called upon us to action, to live a life with joy and peace. Think about John 16 and 33, a verse that has been quoted so many times by myself. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. I ask you today, are you at peace? You know, somebody might say, well, I'm not out fighting with my neighbors, and I'm not hitting my boss and not slapping my husband or wife. I'm at peace. But I believe the peace that Jesus talks about is an internal peace, an inner peace, a peace that you can't find in this world. It's not necessarily the battlegrounds that human beings fight upon. It's a peace and a rest that you cannot possibly find in this world. It's only in Jesus Christ. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. I don't believe there's a person in this building that doesn't want peace. You know, how many of you are stressed out from the things of life, from the difficulties, from the disappointments, and yet you want peace? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. You can have the fullest and the most complete life, and you truly can have peace. You'll never find peace in the world. In the day of Jeremiah, they would say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. You'll find that in the world. They'll tell you there's peace out there, but Jesus says, in the world, all you're going to find is trouble. Now, there's some joys there, but we find them in Jesus Christ as we walk hand in hand with him through this life. As we're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we find peace. He said, be of good cheer. He says, be happy. He says, I've overcome the world. Be courageous. He's given us a victory that you and I could have never earned, never had a part in. We're going to go live in paradise one day. But no, Jesus doesn't want you to wait till the day you close your eyes in death and open them in his presence. Yes, that will be ultimate satisfaction for every one of us. But I believe he wants your life to be filled with joy right now. And I want the young people to understand. Start now and connect with the Lord and stay connected with the Lord. Don't try to walk your own way and do your own thing. God can open the storehouse of heaven, the windows, and pour out blessings upon you that you couldn't possibly imagine. The Bible teaches that. But we can't grab those blessings. We can't receive those blessings apart from the Lord. When we're out there trying to do our own thing and walk our own way, I don't believe the Lord will bless us. We need to be overcomers. I want to make a few comments of an example of we find in Genesis chapter 37. Most of us know the story, and I'm not going to linger here too long this morning, but we know the story of Joseph and his brothers and of Jacob. His brothers were so jealous of him because Joseph was the son of his father's old age. Jealousy is something that many of us need to overcome too. The list of things that we need to overcome is long. And most of us have no ability to overcome those things without the help of Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever sat back in your life and things are not going the way you wanted them to? They haven't turned out? But you just keep on beating the same old path. Some people are searching for happiness in life in certain ways, And then there'll come a time that they'll give up those certain ways, but before you know it, they're back to doing the same thing, walking in the same paths. They're seeking happiness and joy and fulfillment in the same places they've always sought it, and yet they've never found it. It might be that we're not doing the right thing. It might be that we're not paying attention to the teachings of God's Word. It might be that we're not fellowshipping and communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be that we need to overcome those ways and change our ways and walk in a way that would please Him. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you know that? That's a wonderful saying. Do you know when you please God, He can make the worst enemy you have be at peace with you? Life is about pleasing the Lord if you want the windows of heaven to open up and pour out rich blessings upon you in your life. It's about pleasing the Lord, not on Sunday morning, coming doing our godly duty at church. Yes, I'm thankful you're here. But it's about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, every day. Some of us wonder why we're so stressed out, why we have so many problems. We don't have internal peace when we're in that condition. We don't have the rest that Jesus says we can have. We have to be in communion with Him all the time. When our ways please the Lord, it's amazing what will happen in our lives. We find here that Joseph was sold by his brothers. He's left in a pit to die to begin with. Yet, he continued to march forward, didn't he? He was sold into slavery into Egypt. He was put in charge over Potiphar's house. And we all know the story that his wife wanted him, and she brought about a number of lies, and then he was cast into prison. Most of us would have thrown in the towel a long time ago, wouldn't we? One thing after happened after the other to Joseph. But as we read in Genesis 37, I want to read the condition of Jacob. Now, this is opposite of that, I believe, of Joseph at the present time. Verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors. This was a coat that belonged to Joseph that his brothers, after they had put him in the pit, and the Ishmaelites had come along and taken him down into Egypt. They didn't know what to do, so they killed an animal, took the blood of that animal, and put it on his coat to try to deceive their father. And they did. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. And he said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it, and he said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to look at a number of these things and what the Bible says we should do. Death is one of them. I've experienced that, as many of you have in this congregation. There are folks in this world that never overcome death. But until we understand death as we should, it doesn't mean that you'll not have a sorrowful day, that you'll not have your time of mourning. But Jacob said he'd go down to his grave in sorrow, mourning for his son, the young son of his old age, that being Joseph. He had a bunch of other children, but death got the better end of him, didn't it? But we see Joseph, who journeyed down into Egypt. One thing after the other went wrong with Joseph. But yet he overcame those things, I believe. We find in the 39th chapter, in verse 6, and he left all he had had in Joseph's hands. He's talking about Potiphar, and he knew not aught he had saved the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and he said, "Lie with me." Now I want you to notice, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, from thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I want to tell you that in all of Joseph's troubles, from his brothers casting him off to being sold into slavery, to being lied about and cast into prison. Over and over this goes. He never departed from the Lord. He continued in prayer, and God was with him, and he was with God. I want you to understand that when God is with us, we can fight any battle because the Lord fights our battles. We can overcome whatever we face when the Lord is with us. But think about Jacob. And I've seen folks that have spent 20 or 30 years never getting past the death of someone they loved. I believe this could have been the mindset of Jacob. You know, Jacob knew that one day he'd see his son in heaven. He knew that. We all know that. And I believe there's some lessons given to us in the Bible that help us with that. Death is sure and certain in life. But a lot of people are overcome by death. They don't overcome death. And it's not an easy thing to overcome, but by the grace of God, I'm a witness to the fact that you can overcome. You can move forward. You don't have to look back and live there in the past. With the help of Jesus Christ, you can. But without him, it's very difficult. You set yourself up to fail. I want to go back to Romans chapter 12 for today, and I want to close for just a moment and kind of give you an idea of what's on my mind. We find here that the evil that was spoken of that either overcomes you or you overcome it is vengeance. This is a problem with many of God's children. Many of them have this problem. They take matters into their own hands. Somebody makes them mad, they become angry, and they're going to deal with them the way they want to deal with them. The Bible's clear in the Sermon on the Mount that it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as it was in the Old Testament. We're told in Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We're to overcome that evil with good. And he doesn't leave us to wonder and doubt how we're supposed to begin to do this. Verse 20 says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I want to simplify that for just a few moments. When somebody comes and says something harsh to you, gets angry at you, do you know what they're seeking? They want you to fire right back. That's what they want. They want you to engage. They don't want you to be nice to them. They don't want you to speak kind things to them. They don't want you to give them something to eat and something to drink. They want you to fight. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Some people believe that because God doesn't deal with this certain person in the time frame that they see necessary, they're going to take vengeance into their own hands. I tell you what, if you want to live a life with real peace in your heart, with real joy and excitement, you need to meditate upon God's word, pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and be in full fellowship with him day in and day out. I tell you, this connecting up like a fireman does with the hose to put out a fire won't get it done. You need to connect and stay connected. You need to engage and stay engaged. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. When a man's ways please the Lord, it's amazing what that Lord will do for that man, for that family. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Over and over throughout Scripture, we find that it's in him we have everything. Grace for living our life today, and that same grace is going to carry us to glory one day. But you know, as I've grown up in the church and I've grown up amongst God's people, sometimes many of those people are not very happy. They walk around with frowns on their face. They act like they got a 100-pound oat bag on their back. Life is just a struggle. They really don't have any internal peace. They're not really resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it because the Lord won't grant that to you? Or is it because we're so caught up in the world sometimes that we're not engaged with the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not connected in fellowship with him. The Lord said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. I promise you, we're the ones doing the forsaking, not the Lord. That we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. And they will not fear what man may do unto us, what he can do unto us. Yes, we've been brought, many people are in bondage to many things. But we can overcome that bondage by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us to do that.